Father, because even as you told us that we labor to make our calling and election sure, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that what you have called us to do shall never be in doubt, that our commission, our calling, our purpose shall be made sure by us, and that everybody might know what we are here for with the clarity. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you anoint each and everyone to stand in that for which you called them without wavering, without doubt, that they should know as a matter of certainty what it is that you've called them to do. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Today morning, I had a dream. I'm not sure, but it left me wondering whether it's because of yesterday's teaching about unfolding the new world order. I found myself lying in a first-class cabin on KLM with a friend. Then I realized that we were landing. In my spirit, I knew that we were landing in Burundi. I looked out of the window and saw that we were landing in a stone quarry with huge gaping uneven holes, but I thought to myself, This is the way this country is, no infrastructure. But then I also saw that there were shacks built into the sides of this quarry, which were homes of people, because I saw clothes hanging on lines and people moving around. But these people looked unkempt, clearly beaten up and persecuted. Then I realized that we were on another runway in the city center, this time where the plane stopped. The door, in my view, I don't know, I think there was a typo here. Anyway, I realized that we had all along been traveling with some Burundians on board who were forced to disembark, and others from the group I had seen earlier while we landed were forced to board. Others out were forced to board while those on were forced to disembark. It seemed as if their persecutors were doing them a favor. They roughed them up and pushed them on board. I was amazed at what I saw. I saw that two men of these people were thrown in our cabin, at our feet on the floor of the cabin. When we saw them, me and my friends started crying because we were heartbroken at this condition. Then we started crying and praying for them. This is when the dream ended. It left me wondering what that was all about. Please help me understand the connection. Praise the Lord. Now, you get a clear dream and then you want me to interpret it for you. Now, it means pray for Burundi. Amen? Now, here is the issue here. So many of you people who come here are actually called into big ministries. And for so many years, from way back, actually I remember men of God of old, generals, came to this country in the 1980s and said that God is going to use the people of this country to evangelize the world. Amen? Now, it looked very unlikely at some stage when the church seemed to be in confusion and nobody seemed to have an idea what's going on. But now, everything seems to be falling in place. Amen? Now, I know that there are so many end-time teachers here. I know that for a fact. I know there are prophets here. And for some reason, God uses me to, yeah, to nurture people who are called for ministry. Amen? And they find themselves being attracted to me or to my ministry. You understand? Eh? And I know it's for a purpose, and it's just for a short-time preparation as God prepares them to go elsewhere. Now, the thing is this, when you're in training and you don't understand that you're in training, then you get comfortable, and yet actually you're not supposed to be here for good. Amen? Now, for most of the time that I have been teaching from radio and here, it has actually been to people who are being trained for the purpose for which you're being called. Okay, and some people take those words that I say very seriously. And somebody sent me an email today, or I read it today, it might have sent it sometime earlier, saying how when I taught about spiritual authority, he decided to stop the rain when he wants to move. And it actually stops. So he says, I want to move someplace, and yeah, but it's raining, and I don't, so rain stop until I board that taxi. So he crosses and goes and boards the taxi. And now the thing is this, that's part of the training. Now there are people who hear one thing and base on it and move on and actually learn something and move. And now those are the people who are going to make their calling and election sure. Then there are those who, for some reason, enjoy the information, end time, what, all these things, and it looks like some kind of movie and that. And you actually miss out on the entire purpose of all of it. Now, just know that so many people, and I know them, and I'm actually going to start asking some of them to come and show forth their faces very soon, who are supposed to be in training. Amen? So that we can also hear from them. Eh? Because we have prophets here, we have, and people who are, you know, of course some of them know it and nurture themselves and are actually growing in their callings, praise the Lord. Now, not all of them are going to be doing this in Uganda. Eh? Because, I mean, there's a limit to how many, to the number of Bible prophecy teachers we are going to have in one country. But there are so many other countries that don't have, yeah, where God is going to send you, like Burundi. So if you dream when you are landing in Burundi and for you you are in first class and other people seem to be living in absolute squalor and they are thrown at your cabin and then in the dream you end up praying for them, what does that mean? Pray for Burundi. Now the trouble is so many people who are called for ministry are stuck with very selfish prayers. I want money, I want a house, I want what? And God wants big things. Or the point is that it's so selfish. Eh? Now, if we started praying prayers like that, where all the time I'm praying for myself, what kind of minister would that make me? Amen? But you can't do ministry like that. Now, the first thing that comes is you actually learn that prayers, you don't just pray for yourself. Eh? Because there are so many people whom God sends to you, who, and the person will come, and for some reason they think you have their solution. And there are people here who are in training, and somebody comes and says, I think you should be the one to tell me what to do. And like there was a young girl who was asked me the other day, but why do they come to me? I said, because you have the solution. So you have to believe that somebody comes to you because you actually have a solution. And God has, now in the spirit people see these things. Somebody sees that I have a problem, and for some reason they feel it is that guy who is supposed to help me. And they don't know why. They don't even understand, but actually it is that guy who is supposed to help them. So the person comes to you and says, there's this and this. Then you look, you say, I don't know. But actually you know, if you just spoke out of, I remember when that used to happen to me. Somebody comes and they seem to think you have something which you don't think you have. And then you wonder, because there was a time actually when I used to, when I got to understand a bit of what I was going to do in all this end time thing. So somebody comes and you ask yourself, why is he coming to me? What is special about me? Why? But then after some time, I started realizing that when God calls you into positions of authority, you have to, it's up to you to receive what has been given to you and start acting like it. You can't act like a baby when you're in a position of authority any more than if you were appointed in a position of authority in government, say, you have to change your behavior. Amen? So if you are going to some place and you're appointed into a big position, for some reason you have to change that. You have to change the places you go to. You have to change the people whom you associate with. And now other people will call it pride. But then you can't be there and be here. Eh? Because then you don't be a leader. You understand? Now, then of course after some time I started realizing that it's natural for people to recognize what you have. Now, yesterday I went for a meeting with people who were, most of whom are journalists like I used to be, and who are supposed to be doing certain things. And many of them are famous names. If I mentioned them, at least in the media, most of you would recognize them. Then I show up, and all of them are scared of me. Now, there was a time that used to say, why? So even the people who have called you, addressing you, actually who are supposed to be like briefing you on what to do, say, Mr. Kableta, why do you? And I'm the only one they're calling Mr. And there are others are, and the point is this. I was telling somebody, I've been to places where you walk and you're entering a bank. Actually, somebody sent me a message. And the security guards are even scared of checking you. Then they look at you and say, are you pass? Then one guy actually passed, came after me. And then he heard them saying, that must be a man of God. But you see, for some reason, people don't. Now, if you don't understand that, when God gives you authority, people see it. And if you don't see it, then you're going to stay there, yet you're supposed to be here. You understand? Eh? But there are people, so somebody will come to you and say, man of God, help me. And then you say, why do you come to me? But he has seen. For him, he's seeing that you have something. But for you, you're not seeing it. Now, you have to actually start seeing it. Praise the Lord. You have to start seeing yourself as different if you are going to stand it. Now, the purpose of all this is this. I know this is training. This ministry is going to grow bigger, and then we move from training to speaking to the masses, because I've also been called for that. Okay? I've also been called to speak to the masses. I've been called to speak to government, the watchman. Tomorrow has been invited officially for the National Prayer Breakfast as the watchman. Now, so I know all of this. I know I'm, now, I was actually supposed to address Parliament. This year, ask Annalisa. They called me to talk to them about the spirit of Daniel, the spirit of excellence. Now, how does all this, when God, you know the thing is, I don't have to ask to go there, but it is God just, you understand? And there is something I have which they need, and God has deposited it in me. Now, you have to start knowing that you have something special which has been deposited in you by God if you are going to start being as effective to the people whom God sends to you as you are supposed to be. Amen? Remember, on the day of judgment, you will be judged according to how you dealt with the people whom God sent you. Did you know that? Hey, I taught you that. Or you knew it from somewhere else, but I taught it. But you know what Jesus says in John 17, when he's praying and says, my time is over. And he said, now he's giving himself an appraisal. And he says, of all the people that you sent me, I have lost none of them, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Okay? Then he prays for the people whom he's left, whom he's leaving around. Now, you have to understand that is it. Because God has called everyone to influence people. His business on earth is people. Amen? Is what? So how many people are you going to show God? That is what is going to make you stand. Paul says, you are my boasting on the day of judgment, that I preached to you the gospel. He says, and who is our confidence? Who is our defense on that day, if it is not you? You know where that scripture is? You've read it somewhere, haven't you? Yes, it is you. He says, now on the day of judgment I will stand, and the Corinthians, the Ephesians, the Galatians, Paul stands and says, I am the one who preached to this. And because of what was given to me, I am the one who showed these people. And then he says that, my little children in Galatians, for whom I labor until Christ is formed in you. Amen? For whom I labor until Christ is formed in you. Because you see, some people, it takes a long time for Christ to be formed in them. Now, others, it takes a shorter while. Now, you have to be patient with all. Because some people are going to listen and listen and hear and hear and hear, and then after 5 years, they actually start understanding. Now, others will understand instantly. But all of them, you have to labor until Christ is what? Formed in them. Now, that is for you, not for me. Okay, for all of us. But the point is, all of you have been called. All of you have been called to influence some people. Now, for some people, it might even be as little as your family. But I don't think any of you is like that. It has to be a bigger sphere. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Because this is a training. Now, after we're through with this training, then we'll go to the masses. Now, that's where we are moving next. And then there will be many people. But for now, this is training. Now, some of you, by that time, will go and start your own stuff. You go and start your own things because you'd have learned enough. Now, those who are learning. But then some others are not learning. Amen? And I can tell when people are... Because ministry is not easy. You have to learn from somebody. Praise the Lord. You have to learn from somebody the way it is done. And if you come with foreknowledge, a lot of foreknowledge of what you think is right, and yet what you think is right has not helped you in your ministry before, then you are going to remain stuck. Because you've been operating on that knowledge and it has not moved you. But you're so attached to it that you are not ready to lay it down for something new. Amen? Now, if you really want to be effective, you have to lay down what has not worked and embrace what you see working somewhere else. Praise the Lord. Amen? Okay. So now, if you're called to pray for Burundi, pray for Burundi. Don't pray just for your husband and what, and you know, Okay, pray for your husband too, and your children. It has to be bigger than that, because your sphere has got to be a bit bigger than that if you really are called to be a minister. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Nancy here is going to come and tell us something. She had two dreams, which I want her to tell us because they will help us a bit in our next. Nancy, get her a mic. Don't read, just speak from your memory.
Praise God. Earlier on when I came and the hall was empty, I was very happy. Now, I'm not sure whether I'm still very happy. Anyway, my name is Nancy Kalembe. Sometimes I get very shy, and I'm supposed to tell you something from memory. I'm not sure they will. Yesterday, I had two dreams yesterday night. And when I woke up in the morning, I felt the Spirit of God leading me to call Mr. Kavuleta here. We've been relating on a friendship. We talk and once in a while. Yesterday, for the first time, I saw him differently. He was not the normal Joseph I meet. Hi, Joseph. How are you? Yesterday, he was different. Anyway, so I called him in the morning and tried to reach him. I failed, did my meetings. Then finally, I got him and I told him, I need to meet you because I feel I need to share something with you. I dream. That's what I do. I don't sleep a lot, but yeah. And the different dreams I have, some touch me and others I write and leave. My first dream was I was in, there was an organization that came to Uganda. I wish that light wouldn't be in my face.
It will be there. Go ahead.
Okay. I dreamed that there was an organization that had come to Uganda. And it was organized like the Rotary. Some of you know the Rotary. They have weekly meetings. They do good things for their neighborhoods and for poor people and all. And this organization seemed to have very good benefits. So a lot of people joined. We registered. Most people registered. And shortly after that, I had to leave. I went to Nigeria. Stayed there for 2 years. I don't know what happened in Nigeria. It was not, I think, very important in the dream. So I came back to Uganda. And when I landed, I realized very many people were in poverty. Very many people were impoverished. They were living like beggars on the streets. The place was ashen and like dusty, clay, something like that. And they were wearing tattered clothes. So I went to the organization that I had left behind two years back, and I realized their head office was a silver big building. And it seemed like there were a series of buildings like that. And the people in the building were wearing gray suits, well-pressed. They were all looking sharp. And I wondered what was going on. So I asked these people outside, what is wrong with you? Why do you live like this? Who are those people? Most people didn't have answers to it. The difference was these people outside looked terrible, but they seemed peaceful. So I didn't want to live like this. So I went to the organization. I remembered I had registered 2 years ago. So I went over there. I found a friend of mine, and I asked her, so what is going on? She told me, have you been attending meetings where you are? I said, what do you mean? I registered and I'm here. Said, no, if you've not been attending the meetings in the country you've been in, because we are in every country right now, if you've not been attending those weekly meetings, the regular meetings, you're not permitted to enter in here. And the dream ended. So I moved to another dream. And the second dream, I was in a hall, like a basketball hall with steps on this side where people sit, and they were observing. So I was standing in the middle of that hall, and there were big pillars, something like that. And a man walked behind the pillar. I didn't pay much attention to him. But then when he came out from this side, he was all dressed in black and riding a black horse. So he rode off. I thought, that's strange. I ignored him. Another man came behind the pillar. And when he came out on the other side, he was all dressed in red and he was riding a red horse. So I thought, what's going on here? I thought, okay, these people are watching. Maybe there's something that's going to happen. So a third one came. When he came out on the other side, he was wearing all white and riding a white horse. That's when it hit me in the dream that I've seen this before in the Bible some time back. So now all these other guys knew what was going on. For me, it had just hit me. And we were all waiting for the third pale horse. So we waited, and these guys were also waiting. And it seemed like we're all waiting. This pale horse is coming and we are waiting, but there is no man coming in. And I woke up at that point when we were still waiting for the man to turn into the pale dressed, maybe riding a horse or something like that. When I had those dreams, I woke up wondering what that was. So when I was led to call the man of God, I called him, and he didn't give me an interpretation. He just said, come tomorrow to my fellowship and share this dream. So when he started sharing this Burundi dream, I could see the vision of my first dream of the people in the organization and the people outside. Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, okay, the thing is, last week I spoke about the plan of the New World Order. Organization, which is like Rotary, and now you know Rotary, fellowships, they have weekly fellowships, like us. Now, and somehow they present themselves, I'm not talking about Rotary, I'm talking about what she's talking about. They present themselves as doing charitable works for the organization, but actually they are recruiting people for the New World Order. Now, they make it in such a way that if you join, you seem to live a good life, dressed in gray. Now, gray is symbolic of something that is neither here nor there. Eh? Because, you know, when you say gray areas, so it's either black or white. Now, for us, we believe in black or white. But you see, what is happening in the world right now is there are no longer blacks and whites. Everything is gray. There was a time you'd all say, for sure, without any ambiguity, that homosexuality is black. And black, don't look at yourself as race. This is not race. These are colors. Okay, so don't look at the, first of all, there is no white race. There is nobody who is white. Okay. But the others were black. now, the thing is this. Because you see, when you say associate black with bad, then people who are black like us start getting jittery. No, no, no. Don't think race. Now, so we would say this is good. So we would say for sure homosexuality is not good. Abortion is not good. What? But now, suddenly all those have become gray areas. Everything is gray. You understand? Eh? And now the purpose of the new world is not necessarily to... It's just basically to remove any form of social order of the things that we thought were wrong. Remember, I was telling you here last time that even things like now, incest, like bestiality, okay, are being promoted as good. And in some countries, especially in Europe, which is, Europe is just ready for the Antichrist, just know that. Now, in some countries in Europe, they are actually brothels where people go and sleep with animals. Now, it's bad enough if there are brothels where people go and sleep with women. But imagine where it's, you can choose between a horse and a pig and what. And it's there. And the trouble is that there are so many people like, in our countries who think everything those people do is good. And they are all messed up. Mess. Anybody who doesn't have Christ is thoroughly messed up. It doesn't matter what. So the point is, and they are there. And it's big news in big cities across where... do you want to a camel, a horse, a pig? So you choose. And people go and pay money and there's a stable there. And it's now. So now everything is grey, you understand? Eh? So you can no longer say for sure. What can you say for sure is bad? So you can't say for sure anything. Whereas 20 years ago we knew this is bad. This is bad, this is bad. This is good, this is good, this is good. You understand? Eh? Now everybody is in grey, which means a mixture between black and what? And white. Okay. Now, so now the people outside, that's the plan of the New World Order, are living apparently in squalor and in poverty, but they seem to be happier. Now the people inside seem to be in bondage, but they're actually living what appears to be a good life. But that is not going to happen. Eh? That is not what is going to happen. Praise the Lord. That is what the New World Order wants to happen. Now, what God is going to do is He's going to make those who don't believe in Him be the ones living in poverty, and those who believe in Him be the ones living in what? In wealth. Because, you know, the devil plans. He has his plans, and he has his people through whom he plans. But what does the Bible say about the plans of the enemy? It actually says in Psalms, verse chapter 2, second Psalm. Open and we see how the God responds to these plans of men, eh? Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? Okay? The kings of the earth say to themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bones in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall what? Shall laugh. And the Lord shall hold them in derision. Okay? Then He shall speak to them in His wrath, and distress them in His deep displeasure. Now here is it. Eh? Because they are planning things. Eh? And I told you what they are planning last time. Eh? But it's not going to happen. Not like that. Amen. Because I'm telling you, if the plans they had were to happen, I said this on radio sometime, the Ebola outbreak, which was in West Africa, was supposed to wipe out like almost hundreds of thousands of people. But you see, they plan it and it doesn't happen. Then they come with AIDS, then it doesn't. And these are things which, not just, I mean, and somehow it's turned around. Eh? Now, it was supposed to be the thing that dissipates the whole of the African population. But we are here. And we are giving birth. So, like somehow, and you see now, some people think that we speak conspiracies. But when the apartheid regime fell in South Africa, a doctor, a renowned researcher, a scientist, came and confessed before the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. The media were calling him Dr. Death. And he said he had been commissioned to come up with a drug that would almost the black population and just leave those who are essential to serve the white men. Because there are certain things they will not do. And the man was in advanced process of developing something which responds to the one thing we have that they don't have, and that is the melanin, which makes our bodies black. Now, so all of you take it. They can say it's a vaccine. So all of you take it. But it does not affect the other people, and it actually affects this. And that's how most of these diseases have been spread, even HIV. Okay? Because even a newspaper in the UK wrote and said that everywhere where there's chickenpox, vaccine was introduced, within 6 months there was an outbreak of HIV. And it followed almost as if they were following one after the other. And we, of course, we know what, where it came from, where it was, what the purpose of it. Because in one place it's killing homosexuals of all sorts of races. Here it's killing heterosexuals. And somehow, yeah, it's targeted for certain people whom they want to. So now they plan. But ultimately, God messes up their plans. Eh? Otherwise, if he did not, the capacity they have, because I've told you about in Europe, where people sit down and say the biggest threat to the world. Actually, they said, and this was at a European summit, the biggest threat to Europe is the population growth in Africa. It's like me saying the biggest threat to my household is how many children you have. I mean, how is that my business? Are they going to feed at my place? But you see, and they say that, and it's on record, and it's said, and the things I'm telling you are not said behind, they're on record. Somebody stands up and actually says it in a speech. The biggest threat to European civilization is the population growth in Africa. And so, they come up with things. So they come up, some of the things are gentle, family planning, what, you know, those things and what, produce wise and what, okay, which maybe is not, but the point is, the fertility rate, if you don't curb certain African women, they can produce 12 children. Now, then a mzungu will produce 2. Then what happens after 70 years? You overrun them by just sheer population. Because they have, you understand? Eh? So they have to keep on HIV here, then Ebola there to just calm you down a bit. Eh? So, and these things are happening. But you know what does the Bible say? God looks and does what? He laughs. Because I was watching on CNN when they were saying there is a new strain of Ebola coming, which is very dangerous. What? And it was like a prophecy. And why were they saying that? Because they knew what they were planning. Did it happen? It did not. But this one was very dangerous. It would even chew the body like jelly and even have nothing to bury. But somehow the plans messed up when one of their their top doctors from that organization, MSR, Medicines and Frontiers, MSF, Doctors Without Borders, got sick of Ebola and he was going to die. Then they administered to him a medicine, and within 30 minutes the guy was up and okay. So the guy said, why aren't you giving us this medicine? Why are you giving it only to a Mzungu doctor? And do you know what Obama said when the African presidents visited him? Now this is on record. Do you know what he said? He said, it's just an experimental drug. We cannot use it on you Africans. Apparently you're too valuable. We only use it on. That's what he said. It's on record. Can you imagine? But you see, they have the medicine, but they'll be there, what, fighting Ebola. And some of you say, man, a hero is. The guy is not. He's actually spreading it. Until he actually contacts it, gets it, then somehow, there is something special for him. And within, they were carrying him, airlifting him back. They gave him the. Within 30 minutes, the guy was like this. Anyhow, we know these things. Now let's go on to today's message. But anyway, the point is this. What we study here in the Bible will be the. We have the final story. We have the script. And there's only one script writer. The others are pretenders. But we still have to know what they're planning for the purpose of preparing ourselves, but the script is here, and at the end of the script we are on top. Praise the Lord. So now let's read from that Revelation chapter 6, and we are going to study about. By the way, she told me that when I was already preparing this message, so this whole horses thing. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 7, okay? Then he opened the fourth seal, and I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed him. Now, Hades is one of the names that are used. Okay, you know when they translate, but there are six, there are six actually, different names that the Bible uses to mean hell, and they are all translated as hell, but they mean different things. There is a different hell, for instance, where the angels who came and messed up the human. I talked to you about that in Jude. It uses a different word for it. It uses a different word for the place where the lost souls be under the earth before the judgment. Then it uses a different word for where the lost souls will be after Great White Throne Judgment. There are different things. So, anyhow, but Death and Hades followed him. Okay? And the power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Okay? Okay, stop there. Now, go back to the previous verse. Now, it says here, behold the pale horse. But I want you to understand one thing as we get into these horses. There are four horses in these seals. There's black, there's white, there's red. All of them stand for four different belief systems. Then there is what is translated here as the pale horse. However, I want you to know this, that the word which was translated here as pale is the word, is the Greek word chloros. And it is used four other times in the New Testament, and it is not translated as pale. It is actually translated as green. Okay? Now, why did they translate it here as pale? Because the people who are translating the Bible were told, if something doesn't make sense, then go to the nearest thing that makes sense. Okay? Now, there is no green horse. Okay? So, now when somebody sees that I saw a man sitting on a green horse, and he knows there is no such thing as a green horse, so they come to the closest. You'll come to what a green horse, so they say pale. But I'll show you other places in the scripture where the same word is used, chloros, and is translated as green. Mark chapter 6, verse 39. It says, this is talking about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass, on the chloros grass. Now here it's translated as green, because of course, green grass makes sense. Then also in Luke chapter 23, verse 31, two times it's in the Gospels, the other times it's in Revelation, elsewhere. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? Now here it's the same word, chloros, that was translated as green. Then Revelation chapter 8, verse 7, it says, now I'm just trying to show you that pale actually is green. Okay? The first angel sounded, and hail and followed mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all the chloros grass was burned up. Okay? Now, the Revelation 9, 4. Those are the four other places in the New Testament where the same word appeared. And here it says, they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any chloros thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So now, the same word is used in Revelation where we were before, chapter 6, where it said, behold, a chloros horse. Now, I've explained to you why he used pale, not green. Now, so a chloros horse. Now, what does the chloros horse stand for? It stands for Islam. It stands for Islam. Now, notice a few things. Because Islam, green is the official color of Islam. You know that. Every Islamic country has green in its flag. I can show you a few of them. Like Saudi Arabia, like Algeria, like Afghanistan, like Iran. all these are, okay, this light is messing us up a bit. But you know, you can see it from the other side. So this, I think, is Afghanistan. This is Iran. This is Saudi Arabia, completely green. Anyhow, you know, all Islamic countries have green in their color. So green is the official color of Islam. Now, the green horse actually stands for Islam. And now go back to the scriptures. And it says that power was given to them over a fourth, one-fourth of the earth. One-fourth of the earth. Now, during the Arab Spring, and you've heard me say this on radio, those who used to listen, during the Arab Spring, there was a report on Euronews. Actually, it was on MSNBC News. It was on Euronews, the pictures. And they showed, on live pictures, showed a man, a mystery man, like a ghostly figure, riding a green horse among the people who were protesting. And it just rides on top of them like this, a green horse, and then vanishes. Now, I have that video here for those who didn't see it. First, come and remove this light of yours so that we can see it. Are you recording? You're not, eh? Okay, you first stand there, the light the other side. Oh, okay. Now, you play those videos, eh? There's the one of... No, not that one. There's the other one. Not that one. There's the other one. That four horsemen of the apocalypse. But first of all, you first... Okay, first play the other one, eh? Now, this actually was news, eh? Live news. But you've seen it, haven't you? How many have seen it? Hey, some of you are keen, others are asleep, eh? Okay, now, you look at this. Play the sound so that you see that. You see up there, there's Euronews, eh? You can't see it, but... That logo up there is Euronews.
Central Cairo took on an increasingly violent turn.
Increase the volume.
Pro-Hosni Mubarak supporters are said to have opened fire on anti-government protesters. Egypt's army has now begun deploying tanks in among the protesters. The nighttime deaths add to those killed yesterday, underlying just how dangerous the demand for democracy has become. Many see the increase in violence as an attempted government-backed crackdown on the pro-democracy demonstrations. Mubarak promised on Tuesday to surrender power in September to try to defuse the unprecedented challenge to his 30-year rule, but his refusal to go immediately angered protesters. Hours later, the army told the reformers to go back home as Mubarak backers, throwing petrol bombs and wielding sticks, gathered on the outskirts of the central square and tried to gain entry. Now the government is calling for an end to the protests before talks over constitutional change can begin, but the activists are refusing, building up to Friday's planned march on the presidential palace.
Look at that. Then it vanishes. Look at it. You see that green horse? Then it starts, then it goes, then it vanishes among the people. Now, these are live pictures. I got the whole news report so that you see that. These are live pictures. Now, who is that man riding a green horse? Okay. Now, that was in Tahrir Square. And But you see, let's go back to the scripture. Oh, let's show the other one, which was... Now, there was a picture, mystery, which was taken in Malaysia of a cloud which was forming, and there were four horsemen. And this was recently, and it shocked people because somebody takes a picture of clouds forming, and they are clear. There's a clear picture of four horsemen. Now, you know, there are so many things which are happening like that these days. And it's just a means of alerting people that we really are living in the last days. The trouble is that... Sometimes people don't take these things seriously. And, okay, you see...
According to the book of Revelation by St. John...
Turn down the volume. Just keep it there. You see that? Now, there were actually other clearer pictures, but this is the one I managed to get. Anyway, you keep it. That's what I wanted to show you. Now, there are so many things which are happening these days which are just weird. Now, there was a hurricane which was forming the other day, and it... you saw it on CNN, it formed a skull of a human being, a picture of a hurricane. And that a real skull of a human, and it was on CNN, and actually posted it on their website, and it became a sensation across the internet. Now, of course, some people miss those things. Some others are very keen and actually point them out to me. There are people who are extremely keen about such things. Anyhow, so now, let's go back to the scripture. You can go and Google, YouTube that. You just look for green horse in Arab Spring. Now, but the Arab Spring was very important in bringing to forth the green horse, because the green horse was the last of the four horses to be unleashed. White, red, black, and then green. Okay, all of them represent different belief systems. But let's go to the book of Zechariah. It has some other, to help us understand what this green horse is, to be absolutely sure about what we are talking about. The book of Zechariah chapter 6, and verse 1, and it says, "Then I turned and raised my eyes and looked, and behold, four chariots were coming from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of bronze. With the first chariot were red horses, with the second chariot black horses, with the third chariot white horses, and with the fourth chariot," now here it is interpreted as draped steeds, strong steeds, but actually are green horses, the same horses of Revelation. Now are here. Go ahead. Now what can we get about the green horse from here? "Then I answered and said to the angel who talked with me, 'What are these, my Lord?' The angel answered and said to me, 'These are four spirits of heaven.'" Now, heaven is not talking about heaven. It means of the heavenlies. You know, the Bible does not, when it says heaven, it doesn't always mean the heaven where God dwells. There is the first, second, third heaven. According to some mythology, Jewish, there is actually up to seven heavens. But that's the Bible talks about third. Now, before they said, the angel answered and said to me, "These are the four spirits of heaven who go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth. The one with the black horse is going to the north country." Now, remember, we are talking about north from Jerusalem. North from Jerusalem. The white are going forth after them, and the draped, that is the green, are going towards the south country. Okay? Now, let's just look at the map of the Middle East, and you see properly what it is. The north country, the south country, and then you see, when she gets it. Now you see, the north country is mostly Europe. You see, Turkey and Europe from here, which is Jerusalem up. The south country is Egypt and Mecca, which is here. You understand, So the draped ones are going towards the south country, actually towards Saudi Arabia, which is where, Islam was born. Okay, then it says there are four spirits that go from the Lord of all the earth. And let's go back to that scripture. What else does it say? And verse 7. "Then the strong steeds went out, eager to go, that they might walk to and fro the earth. And he said, 'Go walk to and fro throughout the earth.' So they walked to and fro throughout the earth." Now they walked to and fro towards all the earth. Now I want you to understand this. Islam is, it says in Revelation chapter 5 that they controlled, they were given power over a fourth of the earth. Now, the population of Islam is currently 1.6 billion. Okay? And that is 23%. According to this scripture, when they get to 25%, which is one-fourth, then we'll be in the what seed is that? Fourth or fifth? Fourth seed. Now, which means the first three have already sounded. Okay? Now, Islam is growing very fast, and they will soon get to 25. Then we know that the others, we'll talk about the other horses later, but now they will have gotten 25%. That's the fourth seed. Now, the sixth seal, the fifth seal happens in heaven when it says, "Those are the matters said, how long ago, O Lord, before you avenge our blood upon, the people of the earth." Let's read there. Revelation chapter. Chapter 6, verse 9. Revelation 6, 9 then said, "Then he opened the fifth seal. I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' And a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a while, a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren would be killed as they were, was completed." Okay? Now, that would be the fifth seal. The one of Islam going out and taking a fourth of the earth is the fourth seal. The fifth seal does not happen on earth, it happens in heaven. Okay? The sixth seal now is the day of the Lord. The sixth seal is the day of the Lord. Let's read that. Verse 12. "Then I looked and you opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth and hair, and the moon became like blood. The stars of the heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of he who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?'" Now, here is what I'm trying to communicate to you. The sixth seal is actually the day of the Lord, which happens at the end of the 7 years. Okay? At the end of the 7 years. When the heavens are opened up, I told you that before, that at the end of the 7 years, when Christ comes back to earth and sets his foot on earth, on the Mount of Olives, and he actually stands on it, and the Bible says the mountain splits in two, and there is a river that forms in the split of it. Now, then he establishes his kingdom on earth. And all human government ends at that time. Now it will come at a time. Now that is a time when the whole international community and the whole world will be fighting Israel because they want to have control over the city of Jerusalem. You remember when I told you that? Now they want total control over Jerusalem, which now is already the most contentious issue in everything. By the way, I told you before that in the year 2000, there was an agreement that was signed between Ehud Barak, who was the Prime Minister of Israel, and Yasser Arafat, who was the Palestinian Liberation Organization, PLO, leader. They agreed on so many things except two things. The Temple Mount, where the two mosques are, but where also the Jews want to build their temple, and the city of Jerusalem. Because the Palestinians want Jerusalem to be their capital, and the Jews say, no way, Jerusalem cannot be anybody's capital apart from the Jews. Okay? So that's going to be the point of contention. But eventually, when they cannot agree on that, they will sign an agreement telling Israel, you can keep Jerusalem for 7 years. But after 7 years, we'll come back to revisit it. Then after 7 years, Israel will say, no way, we are not giving up Jerusalem. Then the whole international community comes and fights for Jerusalem. Okay? Now, at the heat of the battle, when the Bible says one third of the city has been taken, and they are holding on to the other part of the city, the Jews, that is, then the Messiah comes. Okay? I've told you that story before. Now, that is the day of the Lord. Now, when he comes, the Bible says he doesn't just come as on earth. When the whole world is fighting and has been successfully been convinced that, you know, there is no God and, you know, all that stuff, then they are fighting Jerusalem because now suddenly the only enemies of the people, which is already happening here, are the Jews. Now, within a few years, the Jews are going to be hated. They already are hated by so many people. Now, so many countries in Europe are saying they cannot accept any exports from Israel and what. And it's spreading hatred for Israel. And that is all part of end time because it is all part of the mystery of lawlessness. That is the spirit of the Antichrist, which is the spirit of the Antichrist is totally against Israel. Now, then the day of the Lord happens. How? Because everybody, the whole world, sees the sky recede. The Bible says, like you roll up a sheet, okay? And then they can see all the way to the throne, and they can see the throne, and then Jesus Christ comes and starts descending. Now all of them run because suddenly now they realize that everybody has been deceived. But by that time, nobody can repent. It's past it. In any case, most of them will already have received the mark of the beast. And I told you, anybody who receives the mark of the beast is beyond repentance. They cannot repent. They are definitely going to hell. Now, that's what the Bible says, Revelation 9:14. So there is no repentance after the mark of the beast. Now, but they look and see, then the Lord Jesus Christ comes from the throne and comes down. Now everybody is seen. That's when it says everybody runs. And then the whole earth shakes. And then the sun, everything shakes when he's coming. Because now that is unspoken about in so many places, from Isaiah to 1 Peter to where the day of the Lord. To, of course, Joel and so many of the minor prophets. Even Zechariah. So that is the sixth seal. The fourth seal is what was the Arab Spring and the beginning of the rise of what I call political Islam. Now, when the Arab Spring came, people were saying Muslims are, you know, going to democracy and all that, and people thought that it was actually going to have the effect of democratizing Islamic countries and then they eventually become westernized, which is what the West has always wanted to, like, almost impose on them, to make them secularize societies and what. But they are not interested in that. They actually want... They like their religion, and they want to live their life according to their religion. But they thought that just because they have secularized almost the whole of the world, that the Islamic society will also accept that. Now, the Arab Spring comes, and for a while it was working because you have dictators like Ben Ali in Tunisia, like Hosni Mubarak in Egypt, who are just people who are, you know, basically use Islam to control, but in reality, they are not actually... real serious practicing Muslims, because they drink, they do so many other things. They use this, at least that was true for Gaddafi. They use so many other things. They use Islam just to control. Now, then people rise up, take these people out of power. Then now the West gets excited. Suddenly they think that they are going to spread their kind of revolution to the Middle East. But it actually has the reverse effect, because from Morocco to Tunisia to Egypt to Bahrain, to Yemen, to Afghanistan, to Iraq, everywhere where Muslims were given a chance to vote, all of them voted radical Muslims into power. The Islamic Brotherhood in Egypt came and kind of seemed to be moderate, but actually won an election legitimately. But you see, one of their top ideologues actually said that for us, democracy is like a pair of slippers, which you put on until you get to the bathroom, then you throw them off. So they use it to get to power by convincing people. Then when they have gotten to power, they use military means and repression to repress the people. So actually now, what happens is, as a result, rather than spreading the democratic revolution and the things which the West thought, it turned out to have the reverse effect, because now Islam became stronger and even more radical and spread bigger and bigger. So now, as a result, now Islam is moving all the way across into Europe, and they are going further and further. Now you should understand how much Islam is taking over countries like Britain. And they actually say it, some of their clerics say, we are on the verge of taking over Britain. And you see what, Muslims do not just want to practice religion, they want political power, okay? Because they have always, from the beginning of the religion, it has always mixed politics and religion. The religion was spread through war. They go and conquer a place and say, either convert to Islam or you're slaughtered. Those who don't convert are slaughtered. Most of them converted. That's how Islam spread throughout everywhere. So that is in the DNA of the religion. So they want political power. When they're a minority, they say, no, allow us to have our mosques and what, then you let them. But when they become a majority, then now they start suppressing anybody who doesn't think like them. Now, countries like France and Britain are on the verge of being taken over by Islam, and they have let it happen of themselves. Now, all the North African immigrants who went to places like Marseille and what have... Now, the other day, a mayor refused... You know, they have the... What do I call it? Bikini, eh? What's it called? Bikini. Putting on, you know, Islamic attire and going to the beach and swimming in it. The mayor said, no, you cannot swim like that. So they banned it. And of course, all the, right-wing people stood up and said, no, it's their right and what. But you see, you would say it's their right. But when they now take over, they will impose it on you. Now, for you, if you want a real bikini, you will not be able to do it. You understand? But at the, when they are getting in, they say, no, no, no. We, if you want yours, you do yours. First, we also do ours. But as soon as they gain control, then they say, now you have to do ours. Because for, now that's how it has been. Now, places like Lebanon, Lebanon used to be 60% Christian. They came there. As soon as they became a majority, they started suppressing Christians, convert or die. Now, I think it's about 80% Islamic. From 60%, not too long ago, about 20 years ago. So anyhow, so but the Bible says they will get to 25%, which is 1/4. Then we have run the fourth sin. And that is going to be very soon. Currently, they are 23% of the population. Then the fifth seal will happen in heaven. We don't know. Then the sixth seal is the day of judgment, the return of Jesus Christ on earth. Somewhere in between there is the rapture. Does anybody see that we are really close? Because, I mean, that's the whole point in all of this, to show you that we are actually that close, okay? Because there is at least 7 years between perhaps the fifth and the sixth will be all the way the other side. So if the fourth has already been sounded, and the fifth is not going to be heard or is not going to be experienced on earth, and the sixth is all the way the other side, I mean, the sixth can be any time from now. Amen? Amen? So now that's the point. You have to get yourselves ready. Praise the Lord. Yeah, and go and fulfill your ministries and warn as many people as possible. Praise the Lord. So now that is the fourth sin. Now, political Islam is taking over. It has a lot of Asia, by the way. All across, from countries like Indonesia, Pakistan, which of course is the most like perhaps, Pakistan, Indonesia, Afghanistan. Now, those people actually vote those, in Lebanon, they voted Hezbollah, who were like almost a terrorist organization. Then they organized themselves into a political party. Then they were voted in because they were seen to be a political party. As soon as they came on into power, then they start suppressing everybody and they kept up there. So now, no more elections. That's the same which happened with Hamas. Hamas stood as, first of all, a religious organization, a terrorist group. Then they formed a political party. Then the people vote for them, first of all, freely. But then they wear the slippers up to the bathroom. Then as soon as the people vote them freely, there has not been any other elections since. Actually, when they were deliberately setting up, you remember when Israel was throwing scuds into Gaza, and because they wanted the sympathy of the whole world, they were deliberately putting children, because what would happen is the Israelis would see where every scud comes from, and they were trying to destroy all the launchers, so they see where a scud came from, so they know the exact location where a scud came from. So when they come to bomb, they come and bomb that location. Now, after throwing a scud to Tel Aviv from a location, they would come and put children, children of poor people and what. Then the Israelis come and hammer the poor children. Then the whole liberal media says Israelis are killing children and what. But they have been put there as human shield, purposely for that reason. And then they would take pictures of dead children, and then everybody is touched. But the truth is, it is Hamas doing that. Now, when people started demonstrating against what Hamas was doing, now, meanwhile, the Hamas leaders, their children are living safely in Kuwait, where there is no war. But they are using other people's children to make the Israelis look bad. Because you launch a missile from here, and you know the Israelis know where the missiles are coming from. Then you know they are coming to to bomb that place. Then you call children and give them food, and for you, you run away. Then the children are there eating, then we. Until it got to a point where actually the Israelis started throwing letters warning that we are going to bomb this place because they wanted to get rid of the missile launchers. We are going to bomb this place, get out of the way. And then Hamas would block people who wanted to run away. But they can now they used but they were voted into power peacefully, but that was the last election. After that, no more elections were closed. Now they hold on to power by repression. But you see, that's how mostly Israel, that's how they are going to get from the 23% to the 25%. Because terrorism actually helps. Because first of all, the Western world is so full of emptiness in terms of religion. They have completely bastardized Christianity, and nobody sees it as a solution, because they have made it look so dilute and very helpless. So now anybody, and you know, the human soul was made to seek God. You understand? So if they make you see now, and everybody, then they have bombarded them with all these things. The Bible has 1,000 mistakes about what, and you know those things. So people don't know what they are believing. Now, and they have had these things, and they have formulated their belief systems on the basis of that, but they don't know it to be a fact. Then Islam comes, then so many people are converting now to Islam in places like in America, Christians, previous Christians, because they were first of all not raised as Christians. They don't even know what Christianity is about. They have not even heard the gospel. They don't know anything. The church seems to be doing its playing church, somewhere in church, but not reaching the people who have not heard that. So when somebody doesn't want a secular life, and he wants to lead some kind of religious life, Islam presents itself as the people who believe in what they are doing, and they seem to know what they are doing and what. So now the people who are actually being radicalized and bombing people are people who were once Christians and converted, and they became disillusioned. Remember the remarks I gave you from Albert Pike when he said we are going to leave the masses disillusioned with Christianity. That's the whole purpose of it. Make them disillusioned. Where, you know, when Christianity becomes a religion, then when you have a problem, you cannot run to the God that you go to on Sunday. Because it's just a ritual. You understand? There is no solution. You cannot go and get a real, actual life solution from God. That's why it's important for us to start practicing. Someone like the other guy commands rain to stop. Now, that's when you know what you're doing. You understand? Now, unless you have an experience of that, like, it is very easy for you also, okay, not you, but certain people, to become disillusioned. What's the difference between that and, you understand? Because if it becomes a religion, then it's one of like a million. Until it becomes the power of God, the gospel, the power of God, and to salvation, to everyone who believes. When there is no power in it, it is a religion. When it is a religion, it might as well be Islam. Amen? Because there is no power. You've deprived it of power. What's the difference between it and Buddhism? So, now that's why it's important for everybody to have an experience where you've seen God work and you know, you laid your hands on somebody who was terminally ill and they got healed. And you know that I have seen God work. Amen? So in your moment of trial, when somebody comes with you, you say, no, I have seen it work. So I know. I've not just had it. I have experienced it for myself. Okay? Yeah, I commanded this and it worked. I did this and it worked. I, believed this and it worked. I sold for a job and I got it. Where your Christianity is a solution to problems that are contemporary and exist in our age and not just some kind of belief system that somehow was passed on to you from your parents and you adopted by you and somehow you go by it and, believe in that. Praise the Lord. Amen. So now, if we are in the fourth seal, done, down, and the sixth seal is the Battle of Armageddon, after the Battle of Armageddon. And we know that the rapture might happen perhaps 7 years before the Battle of Armageddon, according to certain people. Perhaps 3.5 years before the Battle of Armageddon, according to other people. So, how close are we? Anyone has any question? Today I will take like 3 and then close. Nobody? Yes. Bring a mic. You go on. You come forward. And you wanted to ask? Hey? Okay. The NLT. Do you have that one? Okay. Wonderful. So somebody thinks like me. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
My name is Anna Rwavoko. I go to Chiburi Miracle Center. The other time we were talking about the beast. And then you said, you see in the Bible, the beast is like today's airplane, these fighters. So last night I saw the plane which was going to Syria, which has like ears, eyes. And then I remember the beast you were telling us that, because that time they were explaining as if they were just beasts. Mm. But today it's those plane fighters which we see. And I saw it and I couldn't believe my eyes.
Mm.
It was opening like this.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Come forward. If you have a question, just come. Or an addition or subtraction.
Praise God.
Oh.
I just had a strange dream that is close to what you have been preaching. 2 days back, there are two dreams. The first one was, I saw white men, like from England and America.
You mean Bazungu?
Yeah, Bazungu.
Okay. Caucasians.
Okay. Yeah. So there was an Arab president. I saw him. I was standing somewhere. So this Arab president told his servants, they were like military people, and they lined up all these white people, the British or some, I don't know, in a distance of like 1 kilometer. And there was some, this thing in the book of Esther, that guy who wanted to decapitate. It's the what? That gallop. So each white man had something like a gallop above his head. And this Arab guy commanded them to kill all of them. And I was standing beside. So where I was, somebody came and told me, go and stand the other side of Indians. So they are Indians, a family of Indians. They are just there seated. And I sang for them one Indian song. And I pleaded, them to stand on the other side of the Indians. Then on the other side, I saw Pakistans. They were beating them seriously. And that Punjabi were.
Who was beating who?
The same Arab.
Yes, we are beating Pakistan.
Yeah, same race. Pakistan and Iran, some country there. For this Osama, I don't know the country.
Afghanistan.
Afghanistan. And there was no black guy there. I was only the one person there, but I was like seeing what was going on.
And they didn't beat you?
Nothing. They beat you. And that was over.
Okay.
So the second dream, we were in a city. I've ever been to Dubai. So it was like Dubai, all those skyscrapers, the Twin Towers and the rest. So we were in a playground, playing football. And suddenly, up in the sky, the clouds became dark, suddenly, immediately. Then I saw the moon came to the earth at a speed I cannot. It grown bigger and bigger. It was like falling on earth. Then it went back. And it did the same thing for almost 3 times. Then suddenly, at the playground, the land spirit. And I saw, after the landing spirit, I saw everybody running, escaping to go in like in some cave or something. So after like 2 minutes, I saw ourselves where the land spirit. I saw the city like 2 kilometers. I couldn't see it. So I called my friends and told them, now see, the city has been here, but now I see it 2 kilometers. So it was something like that. So
wow, okay. Do you know there is terrorism? There is really going to be a... that thing of whatever, gallows,
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm called Jalum John. And as you teach about the end times, what comes to my mind is you talked something about the new world order that is being reshaped by China and Russia. Now, from a similar study that I've had before, I first of all thought the European Union was actually going to play a major role in going about the Antichrist and all that until I got to...
It is actually.
So now, what I wanted, a better relationship. Are we going to see a total collapse of the European Union?
No.
Or, okay.
No. The European Union, it says a ten-horned beast. Then it says the lion, the leopard,
yes,
the bear, and the dragon.
Okay.
And the ten-horned beast in Revelation 13.
Okay.
So that is the European Union.
All right.
But then the leopard and the lion and the bear, which is Russia. So the European Union is going to play a big role, and it is not going to collapse. All right. Is going to go strong.
All right, I understand that. Mm. Now, the second question makes me relate to... I've been following a lot of the socio-political developments within East Africa that majorly... Of late, I've been studying more about South Sudan. Mm. And because I've been there, I've related deeper with whatever situation that is happening in South Sudan to current date. Mm. So I wanted, much as it's a little bit ironic, it could be out of whatever you're teaching, how would you relate this? Because I see also there's involvement of the so-called superpowers and the organization in the whole affairs of South Sudan, and perhaps even Burundi, that I've been looking at it. Could you help me on that?
No, I don't think South Sudan has any impact in as far as end time is concerned. It's just they are fighting for South Sudan oil. That's what the superpowers are there for. They want to be in control of the oil. That's what it's all about. So, the final one.
Praise the Lord. Mm. I'm Everson Mwema. Mm. Now, for me, mine is an add-on. I was there and I was convicted to come and say it, though I didn't feel like coming here. I've had dreams before, but there's one particular one. I'll not call it a dream because it wasn't a dream. It was a vision. Because there's a place where when you're dreaming, all of a sudden when you come back to your conscience, you'll notice it was a dream. And there's that kind of feeling you'll be feeling. I've been sleeping and you even yawn. But 2 weeks ago, I had a vision. I was taken up, my spirit, I left my body. The reason why I'm saying that is because when I was up, there's that feeling. Have you ever been in a dream? Then you, in the dream, you have that sense that you're dreaming. So I tried to get that sense, but I couldn't wake up. I wanted to wake up. So it is like this. The vision was like, I was with the Lord, and there were people. Actually, the Lord had come, and he had raptured his saints, and the doors had closed. So there were people who were left out. The doors had closed, just like how we read, like the virgins, the five foolish virgins and the wise virgins. Mm. So there were people who were, the Lord had taken up, were in a place, I don't know if I should call it heaven because I don't know how heaven looks like, but we were up, and most of us were weeping. Why were we weeping? We were weeping because it had happened so abrupt. We had left the people we knew. Because I expected to see some people around me rejoicing in heaven, but those people were not there. And we were weeping to the extent that I cried so much in that the Lord held me in his arms. And I wept and he told me it's all going to be okay. Then I tried to plead for the people who had been left behind. Then this, I think, was an instruction on my side. The Lord told me, you should have done something to help someone who was left. For example, he was directing me to someone, but I don't recall exactly that person. So, guys, we are closer than you could ever imagine. This is how I woke up. I cried so much when the Lord was comforting me in that, when I got back to my senses, when I woke up, my heart was pumping so much, like as if it had been happening really, like in reality. My heart was pumping so fast, as if it was reality, but I'd come back inside my body. But that time when I came back, I was so afraid because I had been in the reality of the dream. So what I got out of that was that I've been studying everything. I follow pages of End Times. I study whatever is happening in the news. But guys, man, we are close.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Yeah, we've had enough for today. So now, what are you going to do about the fact that we are close? To go and cheer and what? And thank God that you'll be raptured, or you're going to do something about it? Now, you can start by inviting one or two or three people for our move to Rugogo. Amen? That's a good place to start. Praise the Lord. Even if they are not saved. People who have come here, there are so many people. Somebody was telling me the other day, they brought a friend of theirs who doesn't, came here as atheist. Eh? But now the guy is searching the scriptures seriously. because the things that we talk about are not just, you know, Bible, a gamba, what? Eh? Yeah, well, the news and the Bible. And you see the Bible is alive and happening. Eh? So even if somebody is not born again, your workmate, your boyfriend, your husband, your what? Bring them on that day. Eh? If they can come three times, they will be saved. Amen? But don't tell them that. Eh? They will just find themselves that they are already saved. Eh? Because we will tell them that final call. Passengers, eh? Boarding to heaven, final call. Praise the Lord. So that's what you are going to do about it. Now get your offering, everybody. Those who pledged for our move to Rugogo and those who haven't and want to give, you can put it, indicate it as a pledge to the move, just write on, and you can put it in the offertory basket today. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be a special occasion for you to give. Hold your offering and let's pray for it. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you for each and every person who connects with the word that is spoken here today. I thank you, blessed Father, because you are doing a wonderful work in the lives of each and every person. I thank you, Lord, because you transform our lives and through us transform many lives. You transform our finances. You transform our homes. You give us authority change the people that are around us and to show them the love of the Father. I thank you, Father, because you have entrusted this wealth in us, earthen vessels, the treasure to transform the lives of people and to make sure as many people as possible are raptured on the day that the Lord Jesus Christ comes and calls us into the skies. I thank you, Father, because everyone will be warned. Everyone will stand in their call here, and those whom you're sending out of the country, those who you're sending in different places, Father, I thank you because you empower them to fulfill their commission. In the name of Jesus, I want you to say, Father, I thank you for the grace to accomplish what you have sent me to do. I thank you, Father, because that grace. I thank you, Father, because that grace is bestowed upon each and every person. In the name of Jesus, Father, you will connect them to the right people, and they will see. They will see with open eyes. They will know where they are supposed to go, and they will go there. They will step there. There will be no fear. There will be no other will apart from your will, and there will be a boldness that is unlike them, but that is supernatural. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because you accomplished that in the life of each and every person here today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his soul. just got to ask the rest of us to stand up on our feet right now. Concerning the words